This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 302. Even Jesus agrees, Pandalicious needs a chaperone. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming, Tech Gadget, and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another awesome episode of our weekly podcast. How you doing, Panda?
Good. How are you doing, Ninja?
I'm good. I ain't got no complaints, you know?
I know that fro's just like...
I'm so happy with my fro right now. Oh my god.
I love it.
Yeah, seriously, girl nerd moment. So... went natural, cut off all the processed hair.
Yep.
So
she did the big buzz.
I did. Well, it wasn't a big buzz.
I did the shears.
I did a big cut. We took off about 6.5 inches.
Bye, processed
all
hair.
All processed hair. So it's all natural. It's all natural ninja up in this business. I'm really excited.
I love it.
I love my little fro.
I love it. It's a lot.
Don't be jealous.
I'm so jealous.
You're kind of jealous.
I'm totally jelly right now.
It's cool. I understand. It's adorable.
It is adorkable.
It makes me truly adorkable. Like, I was...
All you need now is your Converse glasses.
I know.
Oh my god. Yeah. So cute.
Serious.
Squee!
I think that's the first time that I've naturally made you squee about me.
I know.
This is, like, the best weekend.
I have to put a milestone on our Facebook page. Panda actually squeeze at Ninja.
Yeah, that needs to be a milestone. Make sure you use
it. It's an event that happened today.
Anyway, outside of my adorable hairdo, we have game stuff to talk about. First of all, I just want to say that I'm still really bummed that we didn't get to go to QuakeCon. I really wanted to make that happen. Here's the thing. There are way too many nerdy events for us to get to go to all of them without some kind of sponsorship, which sucks. Because I would love
to... If you can sponsor us, do it.
I mean, we will be happy to report on anything you want to sponsor us for.
This episode is brought to you by insert whatever here.
Exactly. We'd be happy to do that. And as well as give you space on the website and, you know, maybe let you be in a podcast episode. I'm just throwing that out there.
Please pay for us.
Because I really wanted to go to QuakeCon. I've wanted to go to QuakeCon for 2 years. Not that I play PC gaming, but there's just all kinds of great stuff that goes on at QuakeCon.
I want to go to MAGFest.
Well, you know, what are you doing to make that happen? What are you doing to make that a reality, Panda?
Well, I got a job interview on Wednesday, which means I'll make money.
Okay, again. That's good. That's great. Okay, that's
good.
Then
I'll save the money.
You know, it's like knowing is half the battle right there.
Yeah, so I'm already in steps to get it so that I can go.
Yeah, you know, you got to visualize and then actualize your own reality. But there's QuakeCon, and I was really bummed because, you know, Razer was down there this year showing off some of their new gear, including some custom Death Adder mice, which if you've ever done any PC gaming, the Death Adder is really a fantastic mouse to work with.
The last Razer piece of technology I had was the Piranhas.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't even get any of the Barracudas.
No.
That didn't happen.
And then I wanted the Megalodon, and I was like, fuck no, I don't have the money for those.
Yeah, the Megalodon.
Fuck that in the air.
The Megalodon, you know, was probably going to be my next purchase, but then Astro came
into our lives. Then Astro came out and said, look at us. And we're like, ooh, pretty.
You know, it's like one of those things where, like, you know, Razor is like your comfortable boyfriend, and you know what you're going to get, and, you know, sometimes he's around, and sometimes he's not. But
sometimes he brings you tacos.
Exactly, but when he's around, you feel good, and when he's not, you're just like, eh. But then Astro came into our lives, and Astro was like,
look at my swag.
I'll treat you good, girl.
And I was like, and I got do sweat. It.
Like, you pop the collar, and you're just like, damn.
Oh, damn, he got me with that hipster fuck move. Oh, what am I going to do?
He's fine. And we've been on the Astro boat ever since. I'm happy about it, but...
bye, Razer. Nice knowing you.
As far as headphones go.
Yes, I agree.
You know, as far as customizable keyboards and gaming mice, Razer still has by far the best. I mean, I still have my little
the best
Pebble mouse from Razer that I use when I travel with my Air, because it's, you know, at times I really do need a mouse when I travel. You know, the trackpad doesn't get me everything I need. Like, on the Air, if I'm doing stuff in Photoshop or I'm doing stuff in Aperture, it's still difficult to do on the trackpad. It's still much more comfortable to do with a mouse. And so, like, I'm going to make noise here, but, you know, I still have, you know, my Razer Pebble, and I love this mouse. Like, it's a fantastic, you know, it's, you know, as you can see, it's lightweight, it's full button capacity, you know, and so when I travel, like, it's the perfect mouse. It's got a nice, you know, comfortable scroll wheel. Oh, it's so cute. Yeah, it has its own little, you know, pouch, but it's still a great tracker, and if you are doing games, like playing Civ or something, it really comes in handy. So it's one of the few Razer mouse
mice. The few, the proud, the Razer.
Seriously. You know, because as you well know, I'm picky about my mice. Like, my Logitech MX is not a mouse that I travel with. Like, this is my
serious... That's a hunky-dory piece of machinery.
Yeah, this is straight up, like... Hold on, because it's been gathering dust, because...
That's all right.
I haven't...
I'm dirty.
Don't say that about yourself.
I'm dirty.
You know, I need to give it, like, a good cleaning, but, you know, this
That's
is,
what she said.
Shut up. When you're dirty. but, see, that's my straight-up, like, design work mouse. When I'm going to be in Photoshop and lots of layers and Illustrator and stuff like that, I use the Logitech MX Performance Mouse, especially because, one, it has programmable buttons on the side, so I have those set to be my back window and forward window, so I can switch windows really quickly in an application.
And layers, like, move from layer to layer.
Exactly. And it has a programmable thumb button here on the side that allows me to set up either window switching or app switching, so that way I don't have to do the keyboard control. And of course, it's got, like, the everlasting
scroll.
Or you can actually have it be a staggered, just depending upon what you're doing. So my Performance MX mouse is really my mouse that I use to do a lot of design work. But I miss having, you know, a mouse that can do both. That can be both gaming and travel well. The Death Adder was that for me, because it was light enough. It had the great response. Something happened, and I ended up damaging mine. And it was right outside the warranty, and so I didn't want to buy a whole new mouse at the time.
Right.
And so I just went back to using my MX Performance, but I miss the Death Adder one. And Razer really looked like they put on a great show at QuakeCon. You know, Fatality was down there showing off some of his new product line from Fatality One Gaming. But it's just kind of another nerd convention that I would just, you know, like to go at least for a day.
Right.
You know, unlike Nerd Spring Break, meaning South by Southwest.
Yes, I knew which one you were talking about.
Which I...
You really can't go to that one.
But I want to go.
You've been told you can't go.
I know.
I can go.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Nuh-uh.
Wish you were here.
If you go, I have to go to chaperone.
No, you don't. I'm a grown woman. What? I'm a grown woman.
Yes.
Were we not having this discussion yesterday about bad choices?
You're a grown woman that, you know...
Hasn't made a bad choice...
Yeah. It's been how many days since your last bad choice? Yeah. The calendar is, it's like less than one hand.
I haven't made horrible choices.
We didn't say horrible choices. We said bad choices, Panda.
I would say less than stellar choices. Not necessarily bad.
Panda, you're backing up from it. Ultimately, here's where we go. If you go to South by Southwest, I have to go in order to chaperone you.
I don't need to be watched.
I didn't say watched. I said chaperoned.
Chaperone is a fancier word for watched.
There are some parties that you absolutely would need someone to go,
Who said I would go to those parties? All right.
Common sense. Jesus, pick them.
Even if Jesus says, dude, you need to go to this party,
obviously,
you gotta go to this party.
But Jesus would look at me like, but you need to go to this party with her.
It's like, look, she needs to be there, but you need to be watching this bitch.
For her.
Says me, who's Jesus.
Exactly.
I be he, Jesus.
I be he who tell you, you need to go to this party with her. That's what would happen.
Damn it, Jesus.
Jesus is only looking out for you.
I know. And it's pronounced Jesus.
It is pronounced Jesus. You are correct. So, there's that. But, you know, QuakeCon is one that I definitely want to go to. I know you want to hit up MAGFest.
I want to go to MAGFest.
I want to go to South by Southwest at least once, because I'm never going to go to con. Like, that's just not going to happen. As much as I would, like, love, like, really, just any excuse.
I want to go to Dragon Con.
I think you would enjoy Dragon Con.
I would enjoy the fuck out of Dragon Con.
You would enjoy Dragon
Con. And if
Con.
I ever had the nerve to ever go over to London, like England, I'd want to go to the Who convention.
You would need to do that. But see,
I have to get over the fear of crossing over the water in a plane.
My thing, you get over it. Take some Dramamine or whatever the hell you have to do. Go to sleep. When you wake up, you'll be in London. It's done deal.
We've already assessed that that's not how this works.
You didn't take enough things to go to sleep.
Because, I mean, I totally did wake up and then freak the fuck out.
The neck pillow was good, but you needed more things to go to sleep.
I need a snake charmer to just lull me to sleep.
You just need to party all the way up till you get to the airport.
We should try that next year. Let's just nonstop party till it's time to get on.
We should just party from Thursday night until
we get on the plane. And then I'll conk the fuck out.
And you will just be so gone, it will not even be fun.
I won't wake up until the next 2 days after. I won't even remember getting off the plane.
I will have to shake you on the plane and be like, come on, you gotta walk.
We gotta get up. What?
You gotta walk.
Are we home yet?
Just party. So you can walk down the plane.
Oh my god.
But no, seriously, I definitely
can we hypnotherapy? Like, hypnotize me?
I thought you were like, can we drink hypnotic? And I was gonna be like, yes.
No, hypnotherapyize me? Yeah, because that's a word. I'm just putting things together now.
I'm not even gonna respond to that because I feel like I don't even have to. But QuakeCon, I definitely wanna go to. South by Southwest, you know, I wanna go to.
MAGFest for me!
And I think, you know, because we cover so many things in the realm of nerdcore, movies and music now really blurring the lines, as we've talked about in video games with, you know, the swapping of actors doing voice work for characters. And now, you know, you look at the last two South by Southwests, you know, you had announcements about comics and movies based on comics and video game movies. You know, the Uncharted movie was actually announced at a South by, well, it was teased at a South by Southwest, announced at, you know, a San Diego Comic Con. So, you know, those areas are blurring right now. I'd love to do that once. I'd love to do QuakeCon at least once. And frankly, I'm just trying to figure out a way for us to at least every other year do a Comic-Con, whether it's New York or San Diego.
New York would be a lot easier for us.
New York's a lot easier, but San Diego's,
but San Diego's the pinnacle. And if you haven't gone to that one, you won't appreciate the one that's here.
Exactly. So I feel like we really need to go to San Diego Comic-Con. I don't know how we're going to swing that, because Comic-Con is always like the week
after.
Am I going
to have to suck dick for money? Again.
You're the one who just said that on a podcast.
Everyone knows that I don't do that.
But you just said it.
So?
It's recorded.
I say lots of things that don't happen.
When somebody makes the song about Pandalicious sucking dick for money again,
it better have an awesome 808 beat on it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, they're going to put a track 909 on it, is all I'm saying. You know, it's got to have a lot of sense.
And it better have a dubstep remix.
Okay, we'll get, you know, Avicii on that or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Skrillex!
Nah, Skrillex is busy.
Skrillex, it's not just for breakfast anymore.
Yeah. Skrillex, the other white music.
I feel like I should have that poster in my office now during my day job.
Which one? Mine?
So the Skrillex one, yeah. The other white music. I like that. That's good stuff. Maybe I'll put that in my window.
Maybe I'll make a picture for you to make it a poster.
You could do that.
I could. Happy birthday.
So enough on the con side of the world. And for those, and the reason why I'm bringing up con is because, you know, PAX Prime.
On! Yes.
Yeah, it's on like Donkey Kong. And I'm hoping that there'll be some cool things actually announced.
When is that happening? Soon, right?
Yes. Yes. It's literally right around the corner from this podcast taping.
Damn.
Mm.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. But, you know, some of our friends are going. You know.
Of course. We always have friends who are going.
I know.
And they're like, are you coming? No.
No. No. No, we're not doing Seattle.
It's like, nah, I'm too good for that convention. And that's code for I'm too broke to go.
What that means is, you know,
if I has monies, but I have no money.
Tax Prime is so mainstream that, like, I don't even go anymore.
Like, everyone goes to PAX Prime.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I so choose not to go to be
that's
different.
That's code for I couldn't afford a plane ticket or a room or...
I couldn't...
Get the time off from
I
work.
I couldn't get enough money to put gas in my car to even think about doing a road trip, which would take me more than a week.
Well, no. No.
No, knowing me, yeah. Well, like, 9 o'clock bedtime, gotta pull over to a motel. Yeah, a week later, I'm here.
Yeah, the way that you drive, it would take a week to get to Seattle.
Yeah, because safety...
No.
Safety.
You need to drive more than 4 hours a day, Panda.
That's a lot
just because you say Waffle House doesn't mean, oh, time to stop.
Time to eat. Didn't we just stop and shh.
Grits, motherfucker. Grits.
That'd be an interesting documentary, Me on the Road.
I would watch it. I mean, I'm just saying.
And it'd have to be narrated by Morgan Freeman.
Ever since I was a little boy, people have enjoyed the sound of my voice. And I figured you either get busy talking, or you get busy dying. The work is really quite easy. Why, even right now, I'm just sitting in a chair, sipping some tea and reading from a script. The wall is covered with something that resembles egg crates, except they're soft and spongy. Like a Twinkie. Like a Twinkie.
Isn't everything narrated by Morgan Freeman?
If it's not, it should be.
It really should
Him
be.
And James Earl Jones should Here's fight for narrating rights.
Frankly, I feel like the only things that need narration should be narrated by Morgan Freeman, Samuel L. Jackson, or James Earl Jones.
Like, or Gilbert Gottfried.
No. Not unless you're high. Really, that's the trifecta right there.
Okay.
You don't really need... Oh,
Or.
Tom Skerritt.
Tom Skerritt.
Inside joke, found it. All right, moving on. So, with PAX Prime now around the corner, you know, there's some cool things happening. Obviously, you know, Irrational is still not going to be at PAX Prime.
Man, they be busy.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I said it before. I'm going to say it again. I take my hat off to Ken Levine going, no, it's not ready. We're not going to show something subpar to you guys when we know there's so much more to be done, to be fixed, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm happier that they're not showing me something that when the game actually comes out doesn't exist or isn't there, and I got all excited. And as you well know, as soon whenever we see little bits and morsels about games that we're really excited about, as far as in, you know, enthusiast press, we glum onto it. We dissect it within an inch of its life.
We deconstruct that shit.
We hype the things that we're really excited about. Those things spread like wildfire, and then the game comes out, and it's either a minuscule component of the game, or it doesn't even exist in the form that we saw it. So I would much rather see something that is closer to being ready, to being done, and being floored by that, than to see something that's...
See a glimmer of something, and
super
then...
alpha, and doesn't even make it into the Golden Master. So I am completely okay with that. I think that Ken and the team from Irrational, it takes balls to come out and say, nope, it's not ready to be seen. We don't have stuff that's ready to be seen that you haven't seen already.
So we're not going to shake
the
funk.
You know, that takes balls. That takes balls. And so
big balls.
I'm ultimately, I just want to play Infinite. I don't care about seeing any more sneaks. They had me sold when I saw that first teaser video for Infinite.
That game's gonna scare the fuck out of me because I don't like heights.
Dude, same here. Like, but I'm really looking forward to it. So, one thing that happened this week, you know, before we get into the deep dark stuff and all that kind of thing,
the hibbity dibbity flibbity floppity dobbity wobbly lobbly timey wimey stuff.
Okay, Bill Cosby.
Not wearing a sweater.
Last Guardian is not dead.
Yay!
Yeah, evidently there were... the trademark on the name was coming up. I think the web space or something. Because I just saw a flash across my Facebook and I was like, yay! But I didn't read the article in its entirety. But basically, Sony came out and said, no, it's going slow, but it's not dead. And I was like,
yay! It's crawling.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Sony's got a lot of restructuring that they're doing right now. Okay? The Vita isn't doing shit.
No shit. What? Can we go back to a couple episodes where I was like, yeah, the Vita's not going to be dick?
Dude.
But Sony's going to keep trying because, they want to break into that market.
I still have my original PSP. Okay? I play my 3DS more than I play my PSP, and you know how much I play my 3DS.
The one PSP game I got as a review title, I gave it to somebody who had a PSP because I was like, I'm not going to get one. Here. Happy birthday.
But I still have my original PSP. Like my Wii, it's in a box in my living room.
Yeah, I know. I see the box, and I'm like, it's nice decorum. It's a nice brick.
It's a nice box.
Very pretty.
Okay, the last game that I played on that was the Metal Gear game.
I should ask Certified Geek what he's played on his PS Vita lately. I'm sure he'll say nothing.
You know, when I have a PlayStation Plus account, so there's, you know, stuff that I get for being a Plus member for free that I could, you know, put on a Vita. But I'm like, I'm not going to buy a Vita to put Little Big Planet on to play.
Why? When you could just play it on your PS3 if you have it. With me!
Well, I don't have two.
I have one.
Well, I have one.
I have one.
Okay. But we never played it online because, you know, somebody had better things to do.
You really are never going to let up on that, are you?
No, I'm not. I was slighted. I was passed over for non-familiar members. I am a little bitter about that.
I can tell.
Just a little. Much less than before. But as being a PlayStation Plus member, I get two for free, and I just haven't downloaded it to my...
You should.
I should.
Free game? What's wrong? Free games. We're always like, give us free stuff, and they're like, here, have this. You're like, yeah, I'll download it later.
Well, because downloading on the PS3 takes for fucking ever.
Yeah, so that's why you put it on and you just leave.
I know, but...
Switch over some laundry. Clean a dish or something. Talk to the dog.
Dishes are done. I've played with the dog. Anyway, so I need to download Little Big Planet too, because I haven't played it, and you get it for free this month for being a PlayStation Plus member. As opposed to paying $39 for it. And then there's, like, another game that you get.
But you don't sound very excited.
Something else. Something blah, 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 blah. Free for PlayStation Plus members. I was like, okay, whatever.
I'll take it. We're just getting out of the way.
But, you know, I look at the mini games, and, you know, outside of Mod Nation Racers, which I've already downloaded on my PlayStation 3, which I really enjoyed, like, there are very few things that I would want to put on a PSP, let alone a Vita. Like, if I'm doing something mobile... That's on my iPad because it has a bigger screen. I'm just not drawn to playing games that I can play on a console on a smaller screen just so I have the benefit of being mobile. I think that's the best way to play it. Like, for me, I can play Mod Nation Racers on my console. So why would I play it on my PSP that I have to go and get out of a box, plug in, do Lord knows how many.
Oh god, there's probably so many updates.
Before I can actually get to the point where I can put it on my PSP.
I'm already bored of hearing about what you'd have to do just to
get
to the point to
That's
do
what I'm
that.
Saying. Where I'm like, or I can play a game similar to it already on my iPad on a larger screen.
I think we're both sold on your iPad.
I think we're both sold on that. Now, at the same time, of course, I'm still like crazy ass. Like, excited for God of War.
Well, duh. D-O-H.
What I was interested in, and the reason why I've actually had my PlayStation 3, so I'm getting into what I was going to actually talk about.
Good, I'm glad we finally got there.
We're getting around to it. I mean, it was a long tangent, but it was a nice tangent.
It was enjoyable.
I think
refreshing
it was nice,
to the soul.
You know, it's a good way to start your week.
Mm-hmm. It was chicken soup for our nerd soul.
Yeah.
Why haven't they made that book?
Because you haven't written it yet, Panda. Because you haven't written it yet, Panda. I can show you how to use iBooks Author. You can start writing. Alright, so anyway, ready? You know Pages, you know iBooks Author. Wop wop. Alright, so let's go. It'll be on sale in the
iBooks. That's not, I was just yawning.
Yeah. So anyway, I was into anime a lot this week.
No, really?
Yeah, seriously. I was kind of like, what? After our... So here's what happened. So I saw the announcement about Last Guardian, and, you know, the style of Last Guardian, just in case you're not familiar, you haven't heard about us talk about it before, is in the style of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, two games I really think...
I just feel like those games are, like...
Didn't get the accolades they should have. Like,
I feel Ico like those games were like Van Gogh. Like, people didn't appreciate Ico when it first came out, and it wasn't until Shadow of the Colossus that people were like... oh my god, I really like this. And they made Aiko. Oh, I really love Aiko. Like, I feel like that's it. Like, that company really just went insane because it was underappreciated and oppressed, cut off its ear, mailed it out, Shadow of the Colossus game. Everyone's like, whoa, they're for serious. Let's check this shit out. And then we were amused and impressed.
So I don't disagree with anything that you just said. And so
when that's a lot of ears.
Last Guardian was announced, we all went, oh, yes, oh. And, like, the angels came down and
tried to get off. I wanted to pet that weird, fuzzy, feathery kitten dragon thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like cat dragon
thing.
It's like, you know, it's like Falcor had a baby with a bunny.
And a bird. Because it had feathers, too. Like, it had fur and it had feathers.
I'm not exactly sure.
Like a big avian bird, okay, dragon, so like bunny.
Falcor
kitty.
Had a baby with a chimera?
Probably, yeah.
But friggin' love it. But the style there always makes me think of, you know, traditional Japanese animation. And so after I saw the blurb about Last Guardian, I was like, oh my god, I've really fallen off on watching anime. I should catch up.
Choo choo. That train was coming right around the corner.
It was. And so it aligned really nicely. Because I had seen the announcement about Crunchyroll becoming available on the PS3. And I thought, okay, well, I'm a Crunchyroll member. I'm wanting to watch some anime. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary and turn on my PS3 and download the Crunchyrolls such that I may watch the Crunchyrolls upon my living room TV.
Do you even like rolls that are crunchy? Because I tend to like my rolls to be, like, soft and fluffy.
I like the top of the roll to be crunchy. But I like the inside breading to be soft.
But when you hear crunchy roll, do you think, like, crunchy on the top, or do you think crunchy all the way through?
I think crunchy on the top. I don't think crunchy all the way through.
I think crunchy all the way through.
If the only time I think crunchy all the way through is, damn, you done burnt the biscuit.
Which a lot of people do.
Yeah, so when I think...
Don't burn biscuits!
Yeah, that's bad. It's not good. It's not good. Okay, it's not hard to do biscuits.
It's not hard to do business, either.
I mean, it's not hard to do business, but...
Business.
anyway, so I downloaded the Crunchyroll app after I updated my PS3 twice.
Yay! Twice.
Twice. downloaded Crunchyroll. First, I want to say that I actually prefer the Crunchyroll interface on the PS3 to the Crunchyroll interface on the iOS app.
All right. Why?
The way that it's laid out on the iOS app is you have buttons down the bottom for anime and drama, you being logged in, not being logged in, your queue, which you can set up, and then search. So if you tap anime, then you get a list, almost like a website, on the left-hand side of the most recently updated pieces, the new this particular season, quick list of seasons, and then you have genres. So that's where you have your ecchi and your romance and your comedy, and so then you dig down into those and you get the box art and a short little description. Whereas on the PS3 interface, what you start off with is, as I go all Peter Brady, across the top, the genres grayed out so you can click your circle button and they come full screen, so everything else dims out and they go really big, so you get your same home, anime, drama, search.
Right.
When you pop out of that, you start with what was most recently updated. That goes large box art and scrolls to the right. You can use the shoulder buttons to jump to the next page very quickly. And then you can dive into simulcast versus updated. Because there are some things that are just now being updated that actually aren't simulcast, like Bleach. Like, because there's so many fucking episodes of Bleach. They're still updating their catalog. So they've got like to 240 or some shit like that. Then you can again bounce into the other genres, but it's just a lot cleaner. When you go into a show, they show you nice and big the thumbnails for all the episodes stacked next to each other, and again you can use the shoulder buttons to jump to the next page. It always goes in chronological order, so instead of seeing the most recent episode and then having to jump back to the first if you're starting with a series, like, it would make sense to me is you start with episode 1 and you jump to the end, to the most recent one.
That makes sense.
Which makes sense. It's a lot easier to manage fast-forwarding in the Crunchyroll app than, for instance, in the Netflix app or even in the Hulu Plus app on the Xbox. You have skip, which are your L1 and R2 buttons, skipping back or forward. And then your R2 is your fast forward, as if you were using a VHS.
Okay.
So you tap it, and it just goes to, you tell it not to, and then it slows down. But it's a quick fast forward. It's not a step up, step up, step up, step up, step up.
I know, because I couldn't stand that shit. I can't stand that shit on.
Yeah, it doesn't do that.
It doesn't work on Netflix, and Hulu's like, you want to go all the way to the end? No, bitch. I want to go to the middle. Sorry, you're going to go to the end. You have to restart. Oh, fuck you, Hulu Plus.
Yeah, it doesn't do that. So there's already less frustration with that. Everything right now displays really nicely. It's just a very clean, unobtrusive interface. And I really actually enjoy it. So I've been watching anime for the last few days on the Crunchyroll app on my PS3. And what I ended up doing was getting addicted to the series I'm going to talk about today, called Kokoro Connect.
Okay.
So, Kokoro Connect is based off of a light novel. The anime only has, I think, like 7 episodes in the first arc, and I've seen 6 of the 7.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to the last episode. It should actually be interesting. Basically, what happens in Kokoro Connect is that you have these 5 students in this high school. And they are, I'm going to grab my notes because I don't want to screw up anybody's name here, but they are Taichi, Lori, Iori, Himiko, Yoshifumi, and Yui, okay? These guys are all part of a club called the Cultural Research Club. But basically what happens is each of these characters, for lack of a better word, all wanted to join other clubs in the school. The problem was, for 2 of them, they were the only members of the club, which, as you know, in most of the schools, in order to have a school club, you have to
have at least 6 or 7.
Well, 5 is, like, the barest minimum.
And an advisor, yeah. Usually, as a rule.
Yeah. So you have to have, you know, 5 to 7 members to start one. And the other 3 were parts of clubs that didn't meet the requirements, so they got disbanded. But it was a requirement in the school that you be part of some school club. So what happens is these 5 people, since there are 5 of them, come together and form this club that they just call the Cultural Research Club. They don't really do anything. They're just meeting the requirement so they can graduate from school and be done with it. And they start to become friends, but only on the surface, because they really don't
know. This is just an end to it. This is just a means to an end.
Right. They hang out with each other, you know, every day because they have to meet every day because they're a club, but they don't really know each other. You know, a couple of them know some things about each other, but as a group, it's not like they're the bestest of friends and know each other inside and out. Well, that starts to change. Basically, one morning, Yui, who's one of the girls in the club, there are 3...
I was about to say, if it was spelled U, Y-U-I, it's a girl. Y-U-E, it's a dude.
Yeah, no, it's a girl. There are 3 girls in the club, 2 guys. So,
of course!
Yori, Inaba...
Taco to dick ratio. Has to be... You gotta have it. Gotta have it.
Yori, Inaba, and Yui are the girls that are in the group. One morning, Yui wakes up, and she looks around, and the room isn't familiar to her, even though she remembers going to sleep in her own room. The same thing happens with Yoshifumi. He wakes up and looks around and realizes he's not in his room. The 2 of them have switched bodies. So Yoshifumi's in Yui's body looking at a girl's room, and Yui is in a boy's body.
A boy's room.
Boy's room, and looks down and realizes that she's a boy. Then they have a flash, and then they're back in each other's right bodies. They go to school, and they tell the rest of
the club what happened.
What happened. And they're like, and it was so weird, but we were in each other's bodies. It was only for a couple of seconds, but it was really weird. And nobody in the club really believes them, including Inaba, who is very bright, but she's very kept. She keeps everyone kind of at arm's distance. Right. She plays
her emotions. She's got her reasons, I'm sure.
She plays her emotions, very rarely shows emotions. She's very logical, and so she's, you know, running through all this stuff about how she doesn't believe them, and then right in front of her, they swap again. And it's not even just about them trying to play a trick. She has Yui, who at this moment is in Yoshifumi's body, tell her something that only Yui would be able to answer because it was a secret that Yui and Inaba had shared with each other, and she's able to answer it with no problem. So Inaba starts to believe, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. The next day, Yori and Taichi switch bodies, and it's for a much longer period of time, almost like 20 minutes. Different from what happened with Yoshifumi and Yui. And so they're really freaked out because it's happening at random, like when they're in classes and stuff, or going to the bathroom and things like that. And so it's creating some real awkwardness because all of a sudden a boy's in a girl's bathroom and it's because he's in a girl's body.
Who's initiating the change? What element is...
We'll get to that.
Well, I'm just saying, usually with the doing a quick change like that without explaining what is causing the dilemma and or issue and or tension, like, I feel like this is supposed to be highly comedic.
You would think. And that's what I thought, which is why I was watching it. Because
of the way the pacing that you're telling us makes me feel like it's a comedy.
Until you get introduced to the person responsible. So the kids decide that they're going to go speak to the only teacher that they know that won't think that they're crazy. Who is their advisor. And the advisor is kind of a slow-talking guy, but all of a sudden he starts talking real slow, and the atmosphere around when this change happens gets really dark all of a sudden.
Okay.
And so he speaks really slowly and deliberately and without emotion of any kind. And then you realize that the teacher's been taken over by an entity that refers to itself as Heartseed.
Okay.
And Heartseed is responsible for the body switching. And Heartseed has told the kids that until it's not entertaining to them anymore, they will continue to switch souls at random for random lengths of time.
But progressively getting longer, or is it just going to be completely random at all?
Completely random.
Okay.
Because he finds these five kids to be really interesting, so he decided to make it even more interesting.
By making them switch.
Yep, and they have no choice. They cannot not play. If they stay home and don't come to school, they'll still be part of the switch. And so, hijinks ensue, and they all try to very cleverly come up with ways to let each other know when a switch has happened. They set up rules for what's off limits and what's not, because at one point, both the boys switch with two of the girls. And because they haven't had any experience with girls, they basically are filling themselves up and checking themselves out, and they get caught by the one girl who hasn't switched Inaba. And so, being the voice of reason, she sets up all these rules, and they all abide by them. But because of this switch, they actually get to know each other a little bit better. And you find out that one of the girls, who is constantly being asked out by one of the guys, Yoshifumi and Yui, you find out that Yui was actually nearly raped when she was younger, which they're all young in this series.
Oh, they're in high school.
Okay. But when she was even younger, she was almost raped, and so she has a terrible fear of men, which is why she always pushes Yoshifumi away. And so he learns this and is just mortified because the last thing that he wants to do is bring her any kind of sadness. Taichi figures out a way to try and make her a little bit more comfortable around guys, which helps, but doesn't quite do everything, you know, it's not an instant fix.
No.
So as you go along in the episodes, you start finding out through the swaps and conversations that are happening, typically with Taichi as the focal point, as the connector between all these people, that each of them has some real serious trauma, torment, issue from their past that they're either running from, trying to erase or forget. So what you think, or at least what I thought was going to be like a fun romp, you know, kind of basket kind of thing.
Sounds like school days.
Goes real serious. It doesn't go school day serious where like somebody gets killed,
Although, well, I mean, School Days only got serious in the very shit, batshit, crazy, serious, horrifying in the last episode of School Days.
Yeah, pretty much.
The rest of it was, you know, just very serious slice of life
business. Yeah, but the last one, it just went, like, off the rails. Like, somebody took some bad E when they wrote
Someone was getting fired from the School Days animation. He's like, oh, you want the last episode? I'll give you the last episode.
Here you go. And it's already recorded, so... It doesn't go School Day serious,
that was
but dark. It definitely gets serious. Like, at one point, Heartseed's like, you guys are going way too slow, so I'm going to speed some things up. And he basically takes over one of the kids' bodies and has her fall off a bridge.
And not die.
Well, she ends up in the hospital, and Heartseed shows up in the hospital. And he's like, yeah, I'm really sorry about that, but basically you guys are going to switch, but only if you request to switch for the next hour. You can request to switch with Iori, who's the one that fell off the bridge, who's in a coma in the hospital. He goes, because in a half hour, she's going to die. And so whoever's in her body in that at that time is the person that's going to die. So you guys need to, you know, decide
who's going to be it.
And so the rest of the entire episode is them, you know, switching out. Somebody switches out with Iori and tells her the whole situation. And they try to decide what they're going to do. Now, Heartseed had thrown Iori off the bridge right at the point where Tai Chi and Iori had admitted that they had feelings for each other, which Inaba was like, look, I know you like her. She likes you. You guys should just stop beating around the bush. And then Heartseed makes her jump up on the bridge and lower herself off. So Tai Chi's like, no, it has to be me. It has to be me, because I would be so sad if Iori wasn't in the world. But I'm not needed. And then I was like, why are you so selfless? That's the selfish, most selfish thing to do. Blah, 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 blah. So they have a fight. They bring Iori out. They explain what's going on to her. She's like, no, it's my body. I'm the one that needs to die with it. It's okay. She's like, I just want to spend some time with each of you before I go. So in Inaba's body, she says her goodbyes to Yui, to Yoshifumi. She says her goodbyes to Inaba, then takes over Inaba's body again. So the last person that she says goodbye to is Tai Chi, and they share their first kiss, which is actually through Inaba's body.
Oh, boy.
And then she jumps back into her body, and Heartseed's like, oh, okay, cool. And then the doctors come out, and so all the kids are already crying because they know that she's died. The doctor comes out to give them all the news, and he's like, yeah, she'll be fine. She's going to be a little woozy, but the surgery went great. She's going to completely recover.
What a dick!
And so the next day, Heartseed comes back. He's like, yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I would never harm any of you, you know, permanently. Like, even when I threw her off the bridge, I took care to make sure that her phone was with you so it didn't get wet. Like, I'm sorry that, like, that happened.
Whoa, wait a minute, he just did, he does the dickish thing in the world. He's like a Sour Patch Kid.
He is.
He's super sour, but then he's kind of sweet.
Yes.
What an asshole.
Exactly. So that's how it proceeds, and it's really very well done and thought-provoking, and I've really enjoyed it. So if you have a Crunchyroll account, you should definitely check out Kokoro Connect. Like I said, there's only 7 episodes right now. There are 6 that are currently on Crunchyroll. There's 5 more days till the 7th episode comes out. But it's really fantastically done. And
what a good play on the interconnectivity of people.
It does. It does. Like it's
going to play with emotions, which is great. And I think a lot of animes are missing that connection between characters and the world that they're in and the situations that they're in.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed that, watching each of these characters discover something about themselves and be forced to share that thing, that painful thing, that they normally wouldn't have any other way. If they were in part of any other club, they would have just gone about their business
and never been attached
exactly
to anyone.
And so it's really cool, and I enjoy that a lot. So I highly recommend it. Like I said, if you've got a Crunchyroll account, definitely check it out. If you don't, I think episodes 1 through 3 are available for free on the Crunchyroll.
But from the way that you're sounding, people are not going to just want to watch the first 2 episodes.
No, you'll know right after the first episode if you're going to want to watch everything, and you're going to want to watch everything. So that's my anime bit, Panda.
Well, since we're talking about streaming media. I really only have a small little tidbit to talk about. It's
what?
Hulu. It's Hulu related.
It's Hulu related, and not Gulu Gulu related.
No, it's just Hulu related, not Gulu Gulu related. Mm-hmm. Really, let that go. Let it go.
No, I can't let it go. I can't let it go.
Let it go.
You bring a thing up, you're like, yeah, we should totally go. We're going to do this. It's going to be awesome.
I didn't say when.
No shit. See, obviously, I need to start getting shit in writing. Oh, wait, no, that doesn't even help, because when I put shit on your calendar, you still don't show
That's
up.
That's not real writing. You got to print it out and, like, make me sign it in my blood and shit, if you're really...
You've never signed anything in your blood.
I know, because I'm scared to prick my finger. I've thought about it, but I'm like, no, it would hurt too much. And then what if I don't have enough blood coming out of my finger to write? But anyway, that's besides the point. Fine. When do you want to do this? We'd have to do it on a weekend when you're home during the day, because I'm not waiting until 8:30 at night.
We don't need to have this conversation right now while we're doing a podcast, but I'm just saying, it's Hulu related, not Gula Gula related. You're so lucky this is not a video podcast.
I know. Anyway, so, and it's also BBC related. Because we know that I've talked the fuck out
British
of
British Beer Company?
No, the British Broadcasting Company.
Oh, because the British Beer Company.
I need to go to one of those. I've heard they have good beer. But that's not the point.
Fucking amazing beer.
Regardless, we know that I loved
UFO.
We know I love Doctor Who.
Duh.
We know that I loved Misfits.
Duh.
Well, now, thanks to...
You watching Torchwood?
I have started watching Torchwood.
Fucking hell. All right.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
Wait. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? You can't watch Torchwood, if you're talking BBC stuff, if you haven't watched Red Dwarf.
Then I have to start watching Red Dwarf.
You got to watch Red Dwarf.
Okay. Well, it's on Netflix now, so I can totally go and
do that. You need to watch Red Dwarf.
Because I'm only in episode 4 of
Torchwood.
And I'll
tell you this right now. If you do it on a Friday, I will make the fucking popcorn.
Okay.
And watch Red Dwarf with you.
Okay.
With beer.
With beer.
And meat and cheese.
Okay.
I promise cheese.
Where are we getting the meat?
Probably from the same place I get the cheese.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, now I have to add Red Dwarf to my list.
You need
list.
To put Red Dwarf in your queue.
Because Torchwood's already
here's the
there.
Thing. Here's the thing. After you finished the original BBC Who's before the new Who's, frankly...
New Who's!
Frankly, right then and there is when you should have interjected Red Dwarf.
Okay.
And then gone to new Who's. Because Red Dwarf and Doctor Who were like a pair.
Okay.
That was basically, like, my Friday night... I'm so nerdy. In high school... was on PBS fucking watching Blackadder.
Yes.
Into Red Dwarf into Doctor Who.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's a very nerdy Friday.
That's what I'm saying.
The fact that you're on PBS was already a start.
Well, first of all, the fact there's good shit on PBS.
I know.
Okay.
I
Did you
know.
Hear about the new Mr. Rogers neighborhood that's not Mr. Rogers neighborhood? It's the other dude's neighborhood? Yep. There's a new guy who has a new neighborhood on PBS.
Oh, no.
It's going to start.
Anyway, back to what I'm getting at.
But
I have to go and put that on my thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Jekyll today.
Oh, okay.
Because after I watch that, because every once in a while if I'm watching something and I want our audience to know, I tell them what I'm watching and if they want to watch along or talk to me about it, because usually I'm the kind that I really want to dissect and talk about what I've just seen.
Mm-hmm.
And... so I call out to people, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, if you ever watch anything and you think I'm really going to like it, shout out to me. So one of our great friends and fans, you know, mm-hmm. Kayla from Casually Kayla, mm-hmm. go read her webcomic. It's awesome. I love it.
CasuallyKayla.com.
And she was like, hey, Panda, you would really like this. Link. To which I said, click. And I'm like, yes, have to watch this. So I finally sat down. I've watched about 3 episodes now
of
Jekyll.
So it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Yes, but what an interesting twist.
Uh-oh. Mr. Mrs.
No, it's a he.
Okay.
I think James Nesbitt is his name.
Okay.
And it's written by Stephen Moffat, so we already know what kind of theme and air we're going to get in these episodes.
Right.
And it's so on point, it's fucking ridiculous. But you're dealing with a doctor, his name's Jackman, Dr. Jackman.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dr. Hugh Jackman?
I wish. That'd be delicious.
To say.
But anyway, and the first time you encounter him, he's walking, and he's walking into this room, and there's, like, this ginger, and she's not, like, a natural ginger. I think she dies, because it's not, like, a regular hue of red. It's, uh-huh. like, a processed hue of red.
Right.
And he's like, no, he's coming. I don't have time to talk. And he's, like, recording this message on this thing, and he's strapping himself into this chair because he's going to change at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's like, what do I do? He's like, I've already got the message. You sit there. Don't release him from the chair. unless you feel comfortable and you come to some type of an agreement. You know, and he's like, he doesn't know the passcode to this thing, only you do. And she's got this great photogenic memory. Like, she just memorizes things just by watching. Like, it's really kind of, she's creepy in that sense. She's okay. Very, very internal she's that creepy. Way. Good. And he changes. And he's not fully aware about what this change is. Like, it just started happening to him 6 months ago. And, like, he would black out, but he wouldn't really black out. He was cognizant of some of the things going on, but he wasn't in full control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know, because I know in the original, it was a potion that induced the hide aspect correct. Of his character. Mm-hmm. This just comes on. It's, like, genetic in him now. And he can't control it, so he's trying to live a life where he can balance it out, where he's got rules with this other persona, and I'm using air quotes there.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Dr. Jackman, he's married. But when he goes into high mode, like, right before he changes, he takes off the ring because he doesn't want this other persona of his to know that he's, you know, that the body is married.
Right.
He doesn't want there to be integration at all between his life and Hyde's life.
Okay.
And it's really, like, it's scary. And they've gone way above and beyond what I thought they would do for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like, switch. Because there's an obvious physical difference between the two of them. And, I mean, there's kind of supposed to be anyway. Like, Hyde's supposed to be a little bit more wild and eccentric and, you know, boisterous and animalistic and cruel.
Well, Hyde is supposed to have no inhibition.
Oh, and he totally doesn't. But it's really funny because Jackman, when he's just the doctor, you know, he's got this little gray, you know, his hair's kind of waffly. And he's got, like, this little gray patch here. His eyes are really light. And he's very kind. Teeth are slightly jacked up. But, I mean, it's England.
I love that. It's England.
And he's very articulate. He, you know, and he's a great family man. He loves his kids. You know, and every time that he's him, he's always trying to get home to spend time with his twin sons and his wife. Kind of estranged from the wife because, like I said, 6 months ago, shit went crazy and he just isolated himself. So they're estranged. And she doesn't understand because he hasn't told her shit. Right. Mind you, he must have a really good paying job because he's able to have a flat where he's got this restraint of chair and all this technology and shit. And they haven't fully disclosed exactly what he does.
Must be a scientist of some kind.
Of some kind. But anyway... But when he changes into this Hyde character, and he, this other persona just started calling himself Hyde, so he didn't even really have a name. His hair is darker, it's slicked back, he's clean. He kind of gives me an air of what I feel like a Joker would look like without...
Makeup.
And... Yeah, kind of like that. Like, you know, kind of greased back hair, always neatly dressed, a little deranged. Like, he has this smile that actually literally kind of makes me fearful. Like, yeah, like, it's scary. Because it looks way too friendly, so it's like, I'm gonna eat your face. Like that.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Like that. And you don't know what you're getting. He's psychosomatic, out of insane. And...
okay.
But, and it's creepy.
I get that.
And randomly...
Please don't make creepy face at me again.
I'm sorry.
Because that's really it's creepy.
It's supposed to be off-putting. And I mean, he does not completely go out on killing rampages, but we have seen this Hyde character kill already. Okay. Or rather, I shouldn't say that, because he doesn't really, but it looks like he does. So, he's got, you know, a watch that sets off when he knows he's going to switch. Like, because there are some switches that are set in time. So he knows on certain days, like a Tuesday at 7, he's going to switch no matter what. But he's been veering off this pattern, or Hyde is beginning to change on will now. And he's having a hard time controlling that because, you know, he doesn't know what happens when he's not in control.
Right.
When Hyde's taking control. Hyde finds out that he's married. And goes to the house and integrates with the family and the kids. And, you know, the wife's like, you look so much like my husband, but there are, you know, and he's taller when he's hired and his hair is younger, his eyes are darker. So, like, there are, and they actually did something with his chin. Like, they've made it so that he looks similar, but he doesn't look exact. Which is great because, you know, I know they did the last Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing I ever watched was the Mary Riley with
which I thought Mary Riley was good.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I think that's
And I don't particularly like Julia Roberts' movies, but I thought Mary Riley was good.
That gave me my boner for John Malkovich.
Really?
Yes. That was where a lot of my nerd sexual awakening came from, that movie. Eerily enough. I know, guys. You guys can judge me. It's fine.
Well, TMI, frankly, but, I mean, you know, whatever.
Well, it was that and David Bowie, and everybody knows Labyrinth. Well,
everybody knows David Bowie, and David Bowie pants is going to awaken you sexually, whatever team you play for. You're like, hey!
Hey, that's...
What's going on in those pants?
Like, that
David
looks,
Bowie?
That looks like a third arm. You want to wrestle?
Like, yeah,
it's like
that's
that.
That's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, but yeah. This was... Mary Riley was, like, really kind of a... dark sexual awakening for me, I guess. I don't know. Because that movie wasn't like, necessarily sexual in that it was more... it was a primal movie. You know, it felt very carnal to me.
That's kind of, you know, how Mary Shelley writes. Did
yeah.
you not read her Frankenstein?
No, I did.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then you already knew.
Yeah. But I
didn't. You already knew. You already knew.
Okay. Anyway. So, and I mean, I thought John Malkovich played that excruciatingly well. The Dr. Jekyll, the...
You thought you played it so well, it hurt?
It hurt. Hurt my vagina. But anyway...
Oh,
but anyway...
I can't believe you just said that.
But since...
Oh, my God.
Mary Riley, I haven't actively looked out... Because I thought he did such a good job. I'm like, I don't need any other movies to try to change my perception.
I don't think they've done it.
They haven't. And now we've got this. And I'm just like... At first I was like, I don't know if I'm really going to like this. And I do...
More so for the sci-fi or more so for the interplay between the presentation of
Jekyll and Hyde? I think it's the presentation because we're not just dealing with an overt scientist. It's not like he did this to himself and he's letting this experiment run wild.
Well, you don't know.
No, because it, like I said, it just started happening to him 6 months ago. And he actually has this, his wife had a private eye service following him because she thought he was fucking other... Mm-hmm. And granted, when he's Hyde, he totally has been fucking other things. And I'm like, that's really weird that the private eye didn't, you know, show her those pictures. Because that's what, you know, housewives buy private eyes for. They don't care if you go to the movies by yourself. They want to know if you're putting your dick in something.
Yeah, but if he looked different enough...
Well, that's the thing. So
the private eye probably wouldn't have...
This private eye sent all these pictures of him when it was him, you know, as Jackman, Dr. Jackman, but didn't send her the pictures of when he had and she had documentation of all of it. And he was like, why didn't you show my wife that? And she gets paid off by another anonymous bad organization to not disclose that he's going through this. And she does all this research to try to figure out what's going on with him. Why does he change? Why is he deranged? Like, and she's... So she does all this research, this private eye, who's great. And I actually think she played a one-off character in one of the later Doctor Who, I think the 11th Doctor episodes. I'm trying to remember because I recognize her face from something. And she has this slideshow of, like, the actual, you know, Dr. Jekyll. Because, you know, she hands him a book and he's like, I know that my condition seems really similar to this, but it's not this. She goes... This book was actually based off of actual events. The author died a week after the book got published, or 2 weeks, or whatever. And she's got all these pictures because she's done all this research. And the Dr. Jekyll from the book looks amazingly like Dr. Jackman. So then they're all like, well, then I must be related. And they're not, because that Dr. Jekyll was the last of his line. He had no siblings, no nothing. He just ceased to be. So now
he had an out of wedlock baby.
There's no genetic match between the two. It's weird. Like there's no tie. It doesn't seem like there's a tie. Or if there is a tie existent, that it's not that you're delineated from him. It's that you are him. And now the question is, how the fuck did you get here? Like, it's really kind of cool. And eerie and thrillery, and I want to eat it. I want to put it in a bowl with milk and have it in the morning and just eat it all day.
See, it's that motion and that face right there that makes me wish that this was a video podcast.
Like, I can't explain. It's like crack. It's crack. It's BBC crack that I want to put in a bowl and just... Like, eat it with chopsticks, like ramen.
I thought Absolutely Fabulous was BBC crack.
It is. I haven't touched that shit in years. One for the morning.
Seriously.
Yep. Me and Hot Mess were AbFab junkies.
Wheels on fire.
But regardless, I think James Nisbet is totally owning this role because it's definitely a modern take on the whole Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. And it's enrapturing. I'm enraptured. I'm intrigued.
Obviously. Okay.
Intrigued.
All right.
And there's only 6 episodes. Like I said, I'm only on the 3rd one, so they've only released the first season because Misfits only ever had 8 episodes in a season, which I actually think if you can tell a really good story in less than 10 episodes, by all means, do it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If you can flesh it out that well, then you're amazing.
Seasons run shorter, typically, on the BBC.
Well, because then they can have more seasons of stuff if Correct. Their seasons are shorter, which is probably why they're doing that more and more now. So it's on Hulu. You can totally get it for free. I just happen to have Hulu Plus. And you should totally come on this ride with me.
You heard, Panda. You must be this tall to ride the Jekyll ride. But you should totally be on it.
And he's scary as fuck, guys. Like, when he's Jekyll, you're really kind of like, what the fuck is he gonna do? I'm feeling uncomfortable. How uneasy I feel. Easy not, feel I.
All right. Well, with that, I don't have any follow-up. So make sure that you're checking out the stuff that we write. First and foremost, the new stuff is on our EGM Now page, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. We can get news and reviews and just thoughts and awesomeness. And you can always find it on our website a couple of days later, electricsisterhood.com. If you don't want to use the full address, you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That's ESH.co. The short address will bunch it along when you can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page.
Facebook?
Land of Esh. We're at 171 fans. I don't know what else I can fucking do.
I'm going to have to give something away. I'm going to think of something good.
My shirt.
But maybe we'll make a care package of one of our E3 shirts with maybe, I don't know, some Xbox Live or PSN for free.
Because it's ridiculous that we haven't, like, boomed.
Well, here's the thing. I know that there are more people that listen to the podcast because I've seen
Yes, but they need to be friends with us on Facebook and talk to
me. We know you're on Facebook. We know you're on Facebook.
We know you're there.
You're of the internet. You're on Facebook.
Duh.
Find us on our Facebook page.
But if you don't want to do that,
you can subscribe to our podcast either by grabbing it in the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device, searching us out in the iTunes Music Store, or searching us out, Electric Sisterhood, in the Microsoft Marketplace. That's right, you can get us pretty much on your tubes, in your tubes. But if you don't want to get it through the tubes that way,
you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for everybody else who happens to hang out with us underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. Oh, no, 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 no. You can catch our new podcast episodes, typically poppin' fresh on Mondays. Follow that up with the Testosterone 2R Estrogen with the Boston Bastard Brigade with their new podcast episodes on Tuesday. You can follow that up on Wednesday, Feeding Your Nerd Needs, Gadgets and Gizmos Aplenty. I know you like that.
Oh, I hate when you do that.
On geekagro.com, which is held down by our homeboy Deuces Wild, and Feeding Your Nerd Needs for the rest of the week. There's all the stuff we write about on our respective websites, which you can find again on all of our sites. You can check us out and see what we're writing about on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. We are on the Twitter. If you want to check out the entire team that makes up the Land of Esh, visit my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and then check out the Land of Esh list. Follow all those mofos because they funny foes. Foe shows.
Yeah, for reals?
For reals, though. Not for play.
Ah.
Yeah. So, we're on the Twitters. Panda's on the YouTube. There's more coming for the YouTube, especially when we get the studio done. It's going to be awesome. So there's more coming for that. Crap. We're all over the place. You're pod crashing. We're lining up stuff. I mean, it's been a good summer. It's going to be a good fall. Like, I'm so psyched about holidays.
Yeah, there's going to be pillows on the ground when we fall. It's going to be great.
I mean, there's some cool things that are lining up. So make sure that you're checking us out on all of those avenues. So with that, it comes to the fun part of the show.
All of the show is fun.
I know, but this part's really fun.
All the shows
are fun, but this part's really fun.
Okay.
What shit you digging this week, Panda?
Believe it or not, since you mentioned PBS, I am digging the PBS Idea Channel.
Okay. Go ahead, real quick, hurry up.
Okay, so it's a hot guy, and he has these great ideas, and he fleshes all these ideas out, and he just explains them, and they're really cool ones, like how Super Mario is like the best piece of surrealist art.
Let's say that you had to explain it to someone who'd never heard of it before. You can eat a flower that lets you spit fire. Walking mushrooms. There's a guy who throws armadillo-type things from a cloud. There are turtles that throw hammers at you, and they are called the Hammer Brothers. Sometimes you can ride a dinosaur that poops eggs. This doesn't sound like the work of savvy Japanese businessmen. It sounds like the ravings of a madman. I might as well be saying stuff like, we're in the desert, and the clocks are melting. It's raining businessmen. There are elephants, and they have sousaphones for trunks. Wait. This level of nonsense is exactly why Mario is a surrealist masterpiece.
Or how dubstep is, like, truly avant-garde music. And you're kind of like, no way. And then he's all like, here's my idea. And then you're kind of like, oh my god, it could kind of be true. I can see where he'd make that point. Holy shit, he might be right. And you're like, life changed. That's why I dig it.
Okay.
What you digging?
I'm on the PBS tip. I'm digging up these mashups that they've been putting out of late. First, the Mr. Rogers one with, you know, the idea and, you know, the,
Yes.
I can't remember now, but
I remember which one.
Imagination in your mind. So there's that one, which yep. is great. The one that they did with, Cookie Monster with yep. Share It Maybe.
Me got a wish on me mind. It is the chocolate chip kind. Me look at you and me tell. You may have snickerdoodle. Me trade me soul for a bite. Me spell it out black and white. Me look at you and me see. You like an elf in a tree. You cookie showing and me hunger growing. Let's get skim milk flowing. We'll start this snack going, baby. Hey, me just met you. And this is crazy, but you got cookie, so share it maybe. It's hard to look at your snack, baby, but you got cookie, so share it maybe. Hey, me just met you, and this is crazy, but you got cookie, so share it baby. Cupcake for frosting, it no faze me, but you got cookie, so share it baby. You took your time with the bite. Me trying to stay polite. Me start to really freak out. Please someone call a Girl Scout. Me no grumble or grouse. This take its toll on me house. Me going off me rocker. Please be me Betty Crocker. You cookie showing and me hunger growing. Let's get skim milk flowing. We'll start this snack going, baby. Hey, me just met you. And this is crazy, but you got cookie, so share it maybe. It's hard to look at, you snack baby, but you got cookie, so share it baby. Hey, me just met you, and this is crazy, but you got cookie, so share it maybe. Pie and ice cream, it no faze me, but you got cookie. So share it, baby, before you came into me like me missed you so bad. Me missed you so bad. Me missed you so, so bad. Before you came into me like me missed you so bad. And you should know that. Me missed you so, so bad. Bad, 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 bad.
And then the one with the painter guy?
And the Bob Ross.
I believe.
Yes, I believe with Bob Ross, which is really fantastic. They've really been working on reaching out to our generation.
And they're doing a great job.
And really meshing the media forms, taking the mashup auto-tune idea with their own properties, because people have been doing auto-tunes with Mr. Rogers and Bob Ross for a while, but to see PBS actually create the music labs to in-house and do it themselves is really fantastic. And so I'm really curious to see what happens. You know, as you know, Disney controls the Muppets. I'm really, you know, curious to see as we go into fall, you know, that's typically the prime time where the Muppets release some of their specialized videos for the web, like they did the caroling of the bells and
the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Exactly. So I'm really interested in seeing what happens this holiday season with those, and to continue to see the stuff come out of PBS. So it's been a learning motherfucking
because we need to fucking learn.
Yeah. So be learning, bitches.
Get your learns on. All the skills.
Learn all the things.
All the things.
And with that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here until next week.
See you later, bro.